Yeah. You didn't get the kind of child labor, mm-hmm. and you didn't get the type of so-called vocational training that the Miriam Committee pointed its mm-hmm. finger at, where a 6 or 8 year old child might be assigned to milk cows for 3 or 4 years as if it took that long to learn to milk a cow.
That's a good point. Well, then, Beattie actually was, this is the way I have him pictured, but I was interested in your response. He was being realistic then because he was responding to the changing times.
Yes, I think Beattie was wholly realistic mm-hmm. in his approach to Indian education.
Now, wasn't this Hildegard Thompson's baby, so to speak, the Navajo Emergency Education Program?
Yes. Uh-huh. She and George.
Oh, well,
George,
yes.
Boys too.
What, could you characterize her for me? I've talked to other people about her and I've corresponded with her.
Well, Hildegard was and is a very energetic person.
She certainly is.
She's a very confident person, I think, in the field of education. In the period just after the war, it became quite apparent that there were going to be very serious problems faced by Navajo young people who had grown up with minimal opportunities for formal education, and many of whom didn't speak English, had no work skills whatsoever, and consequently could look forward only to menial types of jobs as long as those menial jobs remained available. And mechanization, sugar beet industry, the railroad industry with new types of equipment that replaced many men. Of course, was sort of like handwriting on the wall. One only had to look at it to read the fact that there were not going to be employment opportunities of these types mm-hmm. a few years hence. So, in order to free Navajo young people of total dependence upon reservation resources that were inadequate, Hildegard and George and Beattie felt that it was urgently necessary to take this group of overaged Navajo children mm-hmm. and at least give them enough English and enough knowledge of arithmetic and basics that they could free themselves from the reservation. They could go and get a job doing something other than what a non-English speaking young person could get. With English, they at least could go and get subsequent training in some fashion so that they could develop a saleable skill.
Mm-hmm.
So Hildegard, and I don't know whose, I really don't know whose recommendation it was that developed into the emergency education program, but Hilda was placed in charge of it. I rather suspect that Beattie and George Boyce were among the prime movers in developing the principles.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hilda moved in, and she became the overall administrator or supervisor for the program,
mm-hmm.
and they found facilities in different locations,
yes.
where they were old off-reservation boarding school, put children in them, got teacher aides who spoke Navajo and English both, and utilized them to accelerate education, so it became a sort of 5-year program.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, there's a book in Navajo on that too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that just reminds me.
That's interesting. I've read Madison Coombs' book on that, but I obviously haven't read the one in Navajo. What kind of, is it very favorable, I trust?
Oh yes, the book was to explain it and its purposes.
I see.
And,
who wrote it?
My guess would be, trying to remember, that probably Hilda did. Hildegard Thompson.
She wrote it? In Navajo?
No. I'm sure it was translated
mm-hmm.
from a manuscript, and I think that Hilda wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
I have it at home. but I hadn't seen it for so long. It's just now talking about it, I even remember it.
I thought you might have read it.
No.
At the time.
No, I don't remember when it was written either.
Well, Hildegard was characterized to me as being more or less trained and then handpicked by Beattie to be his successor. Did you hear that?
No.
Do you know anything about the circumstances of the termination of his job when he left the service?
Not in great detail, no. In the period after the war, when Collier finally went out, now I can't even remember clearly exactly when that was. It could have been 46.
No, he went out before Roosevelt died.
When did he go out?
It was January or February of 45.
45.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, by that time, Collier, of course, had become the central figure in a wide range of controversies, as you probably know. And Beattie was, of course, closely tied to this staff that Collier had brought into the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And, of course, with the conflict and the urgings for various types of change that were being made by a wide range of individuals who were already looking in the direction of termination and in the direction of solving Indian problems by the old method of taking the children out of the reservation and training them to live in Cincinnati and that sort of thing. I think that Beattie finally just decided that it was not going to be productive. That it was a situation in which he didn't think he wanted to continue to work, so he just withdrew.
Well, what would be your assessment of how Mrs. Thompson coped with this situation? Did she go along with the tide, or did she hold a restraining hand?
Well, she wasn't in the first place in Washington at the time.
I meant when she was director.
Of education?
Yes.
Well, but I say before that, she still hadn't been part of that Washington staff. And there's a change in administration, mm-hmm. the members of the Washington staff who came in with the previous commissioner and the previous set of policies are all suspect.
Naturally.
And there are efforts on the part of the new order to displace them and replace them with someone that is associated with the new order.
Right.
So Hildegard wasn't, in the first place, immediately directly associated, even though she was associated with Beattie and uh-huh. George Boyce. And she did, I think, have some good ideas. She is a pleasant kind of person that has the ability to work with people and convince them, of course, of things.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a positive program. She was looking toward special education, toward doing something realistic to accomplish the purpose of educating Navajo children. And all in all, she just managed to survive. I don't know all the factors that were involved uh-huh. in her survival. You'd have to ask her. But she had a lot of support, and I think having a lot of support, she was in a good position to stay in the saddle and, with adaptations, continue many of the policies and principles that had been developed by Beattie in previous years, even though there were quite sharp changes in direction
mm-hmm.
From those policies.
Well, would you say then that her coming at this period of time was a fortunate break for the Indians in that she provided a transition to the 60s that was not a sharp break?
Yes, I think it was. And George Boyce, of course, was director of education at Window Rock, and with the launching of the special education program, George very easily moved into the rehabilitation of the Bushnell Hospital up in Brigham City. Its organization and its launching is one of the bigger schools in the special education effort.
Mm-hmm.
And George is a past master at organization, so they were very fortunate in having someone with his particular talents available to accomplish this purpose. And Hilda moved in then into the vacuum he left and operated from the other end on the reservation, and then of course ultimately she moved into the position of Director of Education in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good rearrangement of talent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was unfortunate perhaps that Beattie left, but be that as it may,
mm-hmm.
he did leave, and these people operated very successfully, I think.
Would you say things sort of fell apart when Mrs. Thompson left the service? With no long-term success?
Well, there were still people in there like Madison Coombs, who